at the 2018 Money 2020 in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we're amongst 11,000 fintech folks out there. It's crazy out there. We're here in the Kony DBX suite, if you will.
Taking a bit of R&R.
Yeah, it's very cool. The Experience Center, they're calling it. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool area here. But thank you, Jake Tyler from FinAI, coming in here to chat a little bit about some big news you guys revealed today. You want to reveal it?
Yeah, so super excited to announce our $10 million US, $14 million Canadian Series A. Brought in a couple of, so existing investors came back in, which is always good to see. Mm-hmm. Brought in another couple of new funds. One of the leads, Flying Fish, used to run the voice and natural language business at Microsoft.
Great
to see them supporting, and I think provides a bunch of strategic value add to us as a fund.
Right on.
So helps us double down on our core platform as we see lots of adoption happening in the market across banks and credit unions.
Oh, yeah.
And as we see the projects go from relatively early stage pilots, proof of concepts, single business line deployments to at-scale deployments, that's where the money goes for us. It's really about scaling alongside our customers.
Well, let's step back a little bit and let's give you guys a quick plug. What exactly does FinAI do? I know there's something to do with conversational AI.
So we're a conversational banking platform.
Okay.
We are like a Google or Siri, but built just for banking. So enterprise only. We only work for banks. We have our own natural language stack, but really we're trying to build an AI-powered virtual assistant for banking and personal finance to help you as a consumer plan and take action to improve your financial life.
So how does it work? I mean, if I'm a customer or a credit union member in this case, how would I use it? Would I log on to the website, on mobile, or how does it work?
Part of this is helping banks to reach customers in new channels, wherever the customer is. Mm-hmm. So you can chat to it in your mobile app, in your website via chat.
Mm-hmm.
You can chat to it in Alexa or Google Assistant via voice. You can chat to it in Facebook Messenger, or iMessage, or SMS. So as consumers, we increasingly spend our time often not in our credit union's mobile application. Mm-hmm. And so this is a way of conveniently reaching people for day-to-day action support, and some coaching around personal finance in these new channels.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
The other part of what we do is transform what have often been somewhat clunky mobile experiences into very intuitive natural language conversations.
Okay.
So a lot of what you want to do with your bank is very easily done by saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we enable you to do that. Instead of going and try and find something.
So you guys are like, I want to transfer $10 million into...
Right, exactly. That would have been a great transaction. Or things like, I want to make an international payment. How do I do that?
Okay.
Or I'm thinking about setting up a mortgage. How do I do that?
Ah.
So as well, what you see with conversations is that people have... the way that they navigate around using conversations is very different to the way you navigate around a website, which is predefined.
So
this is a much more user-centric way of building out a digital experience.
Okay, because you guys sound like you're taking it to another level, because it's like advice-type stuff, or how do I apply for a mortgage? This is what you do, step one, step two, step three.
That's right. So we're trying to build a virtual assistant for banking.
That's pretty cool.
That would, one, be able to respond to you when you have want to pay a bill.
I need all the help I can get.
Have a question about a product, so that's reactive. There's also a proactive element where we can learn about you, what you've done before, and nudge you, if it's around savings or budgeting, around your credit score.
Oh, I like that a lot.
To pay a bill on time.
Okay.
So we think that the virtual assistant is a combination of both.
So they send out like little reminders or something like that?
Right.
Hey,
simple things like reminders
are
a great place
to start.
Don't
buy those new shoes, you don't
have
enough money, that type of thing.
Lots of kind of literacy component in there.
Okay.
What is a credit score? Why is it
so
important?
So cool.
Big challenge
gosh.
In the States in particular. And then, we also work in other markets around the world. But that literacy challenge, I think, is a great opportunity for banks to get in there and add value. And we want to help them do that.
No doubt. Good stuff. So what are next steps? You get this nice round of funds. And so what are you going to do with it now? What are the next steps?
So we see sort of two things happening in the market. One is more banks and credit unions are adopting. We're certainly seeing this move down from big tier one banks who have been experimenting for a bit into the credit union space. That's happening a lot at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We think our product and a business actually aligns really well with the credit union space. Very member oriented.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the coaching and guidance things make lots of sense there.
That's what they do.
So that's one piece. You know, we want to be able to scale alongside the market as mm-hmm. it adopts products like ours. Mm-hmm. And the other is for individual banks moving away from small use case, narrow use case deployments mm-hmm. into much more wider scaled, more useful assistance. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing those two things scale at the same time.
Okay.
And the new money is for us to invest in our core platform and our team, which comprises, you know, technology side of this as well as banking product folks, mm-hmm. So that we can scale alongside our customers and
the market. Right on. Do you see this as a huge benefit to like the smaller financial institutions out there who may be kind of resource challenged in a lot of areas? Sounds like this would be complimentary.
I think certainly a vendor like us is great for a small institution who maybe doesn't have $10, $20, $50 million to spend on building something like this
exactly.
themselves. So we have an aggregated language model. It works on day one, so we don't have to train it for every single bank mm-hmm. or credit union. Mm-hmm. So when we start for credit union number 3 or 4 or 5, it's already trained and learning. So you're benefiting from our experience working with a bunch of other major banks and credit unions.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So
okay.
for smaller credit unions, a way for them to have comparable products, and mm-hmm. you know, we think it's really important that they're able to compete on digital experience. Mm-hmm. That's where hopefully a vendor like us can come and add value.
Right on. All right, last question for you here, because I know you got a busy day today and or next the rest of the week for that matter. Where is conversational AI going? Where do we see this heading, the rest of this year and then into 2019, which I think is going to be a really big year for AI?
Well, I think sort of the market as a whole has sort of realized that it's quite a challenging thing to deploy. It's very intuitive for us as humans, but we're particularly well suited to conversational AI. So I think one part of it is just realizing what the right use cases are to deploy against, mm-hmm. where we can add value to consumers, we can add value to banks or credit unions, mm-hmm. And we can generate more data. So we're also going through a paradigm shift where we used to program things and now we learn from data.
Ah.
And it's really fundamentally a different approach to building software.
Sure.
Much more experimental approach. Mm-hmm. So I think the conversations will hopefully, really broad at scale adoption mm-hmm. on a narrower set of use cases. Mm-hmm. And then as we build data, as we learn from the consumer interactions, being able to have much more human-like conversations.
Right.
Coach and guidance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think these proactive nudges are a really big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that'll sort of scale alongside the consumer adoption we see in the market.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, I can't wait for this type of stuff. I mean, even Alexa in our house is like, she's getting better, In the beginning, she was like, what? Who are you, people? She's like, hey, we know who you are.
I think the other thing going on is, as consumers, we're learning to interact with so the magic moment with Alexa is if you have kids.
That's what
and
we do.
They interact, so they're just chatting to Alexa all the time. They figure it took them like 30 seconds to figure it out. We've got this barrier because we're used to doing things a certain way. So I think the other thing that's happening is consumers are getting more and more used to these conversational interfaces. We all text and things like that, so we're familiar there. But how do we interact with it when there's a machine on the other end?
Yep.
And so that's also starting to drive adoption as people, as consumers just get more used to these products.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. You're spot on. All right. Very cool. Jake, anything else to add to wrap up here? Any final
words
of wisdom?
I appreciate you having us on.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's great. We think that this really lines up well for the credit union space in particular around those coaching and guidance elements and simplified experiences.
And the literacy as well. Yeah.
So, hopefully we can get into that market and start to work with more credit unions.
I don't think you'll have a problem there, sir. All right, Jake. Thanks
a lot.
Man. Appreciate your time.
You